so glad to come again to preach and share the Word of God with you. In the world, we talk about performance, we talk about who claim the credits. I think in your school time or in your professional world, we are so acquainted with all those mindsets. We need to work hard in order to perform. And also, among all the good results for your company, for your working unit, I think someone will claim the credits, or we compete to claim the credits. But within a church, shall we talk about credit? Or shall we talk about glory? Oh, we should be humble ourselves, right? Because we know all the works that we are doing, or all the so-called well-done work, is to the glory of God. It's totally true. We serve with a humble heart, and we put all the glory back to the cross, to the one that who deserve. But on the other hand, in the church, should we also think about who deserve the credit? Who deserve the credit in a sense, not put the glory to anybody, but we also will know that we need to work hard in order to make the church known not for my name, for your name, but for God's name. I don't know whether you acquainted with this scripture or not, but it's quite interesting. It's talk about a mother requests Jesus, whether my son or either my both of my son will sit on the throne, one on the left and one on the right. I know most of us, we English speaking, but you know, some of us also understand Chinese. In Chinese, there's a saying, one on the right, one on the left. They speak in Chinese, they call the right prime minister, left prime minister. In reality, we know prime minister will just have one. But in the Chinese saying, we always say about left and right. That means the most important two. We are not the king. We are not the one who sit at the throne. But we want to be the most important one, the VIP in the power. So this mother is so interesting. She expressed this wish. Whether you are a mother or not is not important. But let's say if today is Mother's Day, probably I would preach the same sermon. But from the perspective of the mother, a mother always wants their children be prominent, eminent, whatever you call, and we want to shape them in the right track so that they will be success. For this passage, it's interesting. The mother's name not even mentioned, but you know, it's James and John's mother. After she put up this request, you know, the other 10, right here, doesn't mention about John and James. What are their reaction? But at least the other 10 disciples, they are quite angry, right? Angry about how come I don't have a mother to voice out my wish, but you guys have mother to voice or request this important so-called request. Who deserves the credit? Shall James or John or whoever? Within this scripture, we come more detail. We look into more detail. We know that right after her request, Jesus said to them, "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" So interesting. Both John and James answer, "Yes, we can." But Jesus said, "You don't know what you are asking or you even don't know what you are answering. Because in the whole gospel, even with this scripture before these chapters, Jesus already mentioned he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, and he must be killed. Sometimes Jesus preached, and the disciples followed Jesus to listen to so many sermons, but I doubt whether the disciples really understand what Jesus is talking about, right? Somehow, Jesus says something that looks like understand, but not really. But Jesus already spelled out, the last time go to the Jerusalem is the time for the Son of Man being nailed on the cross. He need to pay the price. And right at the next chapter, chapter 17, verse 22, also mentioned, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of man. So clear, Jesus' cup is not easy to drink because he need to pay the price. And even chapter 20, verse 17, quite obvious, vividly to describe, they will condemn him to death. That is the cup of Jesus. So when the disciples say, I can drink, are you really understand what you are talking about? Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup. So, even when Jesus called the disciples to follow him, I think you will be familiar with this passage. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So clear, you have to pay the price. You have to take up your cross. Just like a joke I hear from a man and said, his cross is his wife. So he has to bear with his wife in order to follow Christ. Or maybe the vice versa, right? But true, somehow, some interpersonal relationship, some family situation, or even your boss, maybe your Christ. But right here, Jesus is not talking about the price you need to pay in order to achieve or to keep a relationship. But right here, Jesus vividly talked about the price to follow God, to follow God's will. It's not easy. Jesus said, he will reward each person according to what they have done. What here Jesus wants to tell us, there is no unearned harvest, or in common slang, there is no free lunch, right? It's so common, we all understand about it. In your school, there's no free lunch, no free marks. In your work, there's no free promotion. Whenever promotion you got, you know, you have to pay extra effort in order to keep your promotion, in order to keep your performance. There's no free lunch. But somehow, in our belief or in our Christianity, we all know the salvation are 100% free. We cannot pay for our salvation. We cannot contribute anything. That's why Jesus has to die on the cross. Yes, totally grace. But when we become a Christian, do you understand you have to take up your cross in order to continue to follow your God, your Christ? Especially most of us are grown up in church. And some of my English-speaking young adults, they told me, they even born in the church because mother pregnant and come to the church and worship. So they always joke about, wow, we know about Christianity. But in true essence, when you follow Christ, it's not by blood, it's not by your family tradition, even it's not but just by your understanding. It's by grace, but also by deed. After you become a Christian, we need to work hard in order to express our faith. There's no unearned harvest. Do you notice the chapter 16, when Jesus talked about bear your cross to follow him, there's a famous Bible verse. It's verse 26. Shall we read it loudly together? What good would it be for someone to gain the whole world? You know, this Bible verse is famous in Chinese Christian world because we like to share the gospel and quote this verse. But actually, this verse, in the context of Jesus saying, is not talking to the unbelievers. He's talking to the believer. And ask them to bear the cross to follow Christ. And how come Jesus talked about what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Because we know you need to gain the whole world, you need to pay the price. So somehow your boss raise your salary, promote you to a very important position, and you prepare double or triple your effort in order to keep your position. We understand this theory or this supposition. But interestingly, in church, we always think about God's grace, but we never think about your effort. Yes, I said that again, not for your redemption, not for your salvation. But after you saved by God, after you bear your cross, become a Christian, prepare to make up your time, make up your effort in order to believe and continue to be a believer. So in God's salvation, there's a formula called 100% God's grace. That is our salvation. There's all our God's work. If we do anything for God, we know it's by grace. But on the other hand, you have to prepare. It's also 100% human efforts. Do you agree? 100% by grace, 100% human efforts. Just like today's preaching, I know I have to pray. I have to ask God to use me as a vessel in order to share the word with you, 100% God's grace. But on the other hand, I have to prepare. I cannot just pray and then come up to speak. Just like the song leaders. Yeah, they are gifted in music. Do you think they can just play the music and sing? Maybe some of them they can, but most of them, they need to practice, right? They need to prepare. They need to pray. Recently, my youngest son, he told me, our praise team in my home church, they require such a high level. They have a full band, and they use different software. They need time to prepare and how to make it harmonize and whatever. And of course, I'm not a music person, so I don't know what they are talking about, but they talk about software, about instruments, about voice, about songs, and they need hours to, in order to make it just like a production. And they are so serious to prepare just 50 minutes, 20 minutes, or half hours of singing. Why? Because they know it's gracious to be a song leader. But on the other hand, they know they have to be really diligent, work diligently in order to make this effectiveness, how to carry out this praise and worship time. 100% grace, 100% our human efforts. I don't know whether you have ever seen this cartoon. It's so popular right now in Chinese world. Chinese readers or Chinese watchers, YouTubers, they all understand what it wants to tell you. When you look at this, what is the message? What is the message? Or maybe you think, well, I'm not Chinese speaking, how can I understand? But at least, what message? Literally, they are lying flat, right? If you can understand Chinese, you know, tong ping, lie flat, is literally translate lie flat. And what is lie flat? Maybe it doesn't make sense to English-speaking world, but at least it's relaxed, right? And it's so interesting. Even one of the lie flat even cover the eye, right? No eye see. So just relax and enjoy. That is our life philosophy. Somehow we enjoy God's grace, become a Christian, have His providence, and fully blessed. It's so enjoyable. We just lie flat. Somehow, too many disciples of God today, we bear this kind of mentality. Come to church, worship, enjoy the music, listen to the sermon, enjoy the mingle time, and then, wow, we dismiss, go back to our 1 week work. We just lie flat in the midst of God's grace. That is Christian. Somehow we need to correct our mentality, because Jesus said, you need to drink my cup. Whoever follow Christ, he has to bear my cross or your cross. Different people have different challenges, difficulties, but still we have to cross over them in order to bear fruit for Christ. So don't just lie flat in the grace of our Lord, but we need to follow whatever Jesus continued to tell us. Jesus said, called them together and said, you know that the rulers of Gentiles lord it over them. Just like your boss, just like the secular world, whatever you want to perform, achieve, you need to pay your price. Just like your boss rule over you. But Jesus tried to make a contrast. Not so with you. In the world, if you want to achieve certain platform, certain titles, certain achievement, you need to work extra effort, or somehow maybe you rule over someone, but not so with you. And the famous Bible verse come after. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you, you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. This is a very important spiritual discipline for all of us. Spiritual maturity speaks through ownership and ministry. I said it again, spiritual maturity speaks through ownership and ministry. In the world, if you want to achieve something, you work hard. But interesting, in the church, we are not working so hard because we always try to let others to fill the gap or fill the position, right? And we are become humble and let others to do the thing. That is good mentality. But on the other hand, if you are just be humble and do nothing, that's not the right mentality, because you don't have the true maturity. Try to hold some position. Try to do something for God, for the church, for yourself, in order to take up your ownership to be a Christian, to be a member of Lost Grace Church. One time a Cantonese speaking brother come to me and said, if you are in a church for several years, and if you cannot get some position, you must have problem. That is a Cantonese person talk with me about this. And then another Mandarin person talked with me, and he said, hey, this church doesn't pay any attention on me, so I cannot do anything. I'm considered to go to another church, a smaller church. Maybe they will pay attention, and I can try to serve. And do you think the English people, what is the mentality among my home church? Some English people told me, I don't care. I don't care about who will be the elder, who will be the deacon. I don't care. I just come and worship God. You know, you are being set up by my three quotations, right? Cantonese speaking, Mandarin speaking, English speaking. They speak on different mentality, but all are at a mentality that is not the right mentality. If you are ambitious, try to be somebody in this church, probably we won't support you to take the position because you want to be somebody, right? And you think, wow, I will go to another church in order to get attention. Well, you are not right. But how about if you don't care? You don't care about anything. You just worship God and enjoy whatever God bless your own life, bless your own family. That is not the right mentality. Because spiritual maturity requires ownership. Not being ambitious, you try to achieve to become someone. But you should have a right ambition for God. If you are still young in faith or in age, I can see that. But if you are already mature in your spiritual walk, you should have a goal to serve God. You should have a so-called right ambition. Try to make a difference in this church. Not to show your gift or your ability, but try to say thanks to God because God grants you this ability so you don't just work for the world, not just work for yourself, but you will try to work for your Lord. I try to draft something. If you are a faith seeker, sometime, someday, you baptize. And I heard that there are two young people who baptize. That's good. We should climb the ladder, try to prepare ourselves to serve. Maybe someone will appoint you to work for some department, some ministry, or maybe next year election, you will be elected to be some committee member, whatever. Well, that is a path of a spiritual walk. And don't misunderstand my intention. It's just like climbing the corporate ladder. You climb higher and higher to become the leader of this church? Yes and no. Because whoever will be the first, he has to serve, right? Who are the first one, you will become the slave for the other. That is what Christ told us. So in terms of this faith ladder, you also have to prepare yourself by grace. You become a Christian. You need by word, by God's word, you to equip yourself, to change your mindset from a secular mindset to be a Christian worldview mindset. You have to, not only by word, but also by gift. You discover your gift. You have the mentality or the good work for any dimension or any area. You work better than the other. That is a gift. You discover your gift not only to perform your job in the world, but also to serve the Lord in this community. And then you will become more mature. You know that it's not only your mind filled with Bible scripture, your ability full of different talents to serve, but you know you still need God. What is anointing in the Old Testament to New Testament? Anoint always point to the presence of God. That means you know if you depart from God, you cannot do anything. So even you are full of Bible scripture, you are full of talents to perform, But still, you need to rely on God. That is by anointing. And then finally, as the years of your Christian walk, you will have the fruits by the Spirit to become a mature Christian. So I try to draw something for LGC. LGC, we have congregants, different congregations, but we try to build up different leadership teams. And the leadership teams is just like a garden. You know what is garden? The spring has arrived. Someone already prepared your garden. You know you need to prepare many things in order to get a good harvest in the weeks or months to come. A garden, that means you need to prepare and invest. LGC, the leadership teams, we have the CMT, MMT, EMT. Almost the first month or first 2 months when I served with you guys in LGC, I have to learn the different acronyms. So many acronyms. Now I can remember most of them. And we have the PT, pastoral team, right? We have the BD, DB, deacon board. And also we have the so-called SC. Wow, so many teams, so many acronyms. And actually, if we put in the right track, in the right direction, you know, just like a matrix system, try to carry out different functions of this multi-congregational church, multi-generational and multi-cultural church, in order to carry out the different functions of each team, no matter it's pastoral or administration or spiritual council, you need to pray for these teams. And you also need to pray for yourself. Not only pray for these team leaders, because somehow they need your help. They need some assistance. How about pray for yourself so that you will become the next generation leaders? That is just like a life gardens in this church. Spiritual maturity requires ownership. This church is not only belongs to the Cantonese side or to the uncle and auntie. This church belongs to you. We need to own the ministry. We need to perform. We need to make efforts so that the church will see the maturity. When you see the right and choice and right, I think you understand. What Jesus said, trying to teach us, whenever you become a leader, your right is less. On the other hand, when you become leader, your responsibility actually is more. That is what Jesus is trying to tell us. So you want to become first, you have to serve. Maybe that's the reason you don't want to serve. You never want to be the first. One day, one sister or one lady shared with me, she said, in the kingdom of God, what she wants is just a small chair, not the right and left of the throne. So in her mindset, in her vision, in the eternity, he just wants to sit at the very, very far corner of the kingdom. Wow, if that is the mentality of most Christians, there is a problem. Why? The very far will not have any space. And the throne is empty space because everyone just wants to be a small potato, right? I don't care. I don't want to be the leader. I just come and worship and enjoy. Well, I would like to pray for you. You need to have the right ambition, not the wrong ambitions. You need to work hard and harder. Why? Because God wants you to be mature. You need to own this church because you've grown up at this church. You are aged at this church. Hopefully, we can serve not only by member, but also prepare ourselves to be the leader. The standard of Jewish judgment and the earthly idea of the splendor of Messiah were broken at the cross of Christ. That is by Bowman, this famous theologian. Because everyone will waiting for the Messiah to be a splendor ruler. But Jesus said, he will come to serve in order to be served. That is a totally different perspective. So that's why when you become the leader of this church, you are owned your ministry in order to serve better and to show your maturity. Finally, the last words of this scripture. Can we read it together, please? Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, this is a very famous Bible verse, and I know some of the famous good school even quote this as their memorandum. That is their motto of the school. Why? It's so great. We equip all the students to serve and not to be served. And that is what Christ modeled. This is very good. But be careful. It is not talking about a good, beautiful role model only. Actually, it tells us a very important secret. What is the momentum? What is the power that I can keep on serving God? Is whenever you see you are not only to be served, you are not only to serve, but you will see the reward of your serving, then you will keep up of your mission. So continue the mission requires us to look towards the promise of future reward. Yes, Jesus is not to be served. Jesus come down in our history to be the one who hang on the cross, to be the one who died for us. Why Jesus have this powerful momentum to go up to the cross? Because he knows the consequence of his sacrifice. When he sacrificed, he knows he will become the savior in order to let all who believes will become the one who will be saved. That is why Jesus can go up to the cross, because he has the future reward. When we serve God, we always say we don't count on whatever rewards. It is true, it is yes, but it is also not true, it's no. Why you just serve 1 year and you stop? Because you don't see any reward. You don't see any consequence, good result, then you stop. But if you know, if you keep on serving God, even you cannot see the consequence, you cannot see the reward right away, but you really believe God will reward you. If you really play real, really take it serious, then you know whether you see the reward or not, it's not important, because God will reward you. Jesus already said to them, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on, not on the right and left, but on the 12 thrones. That means whoever pay price for God, whoever really pay the cost, God will reward you ultimately. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians has this kind of conviction and try to encourage each of us. Let us read together. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the word of God, of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let nothing move you. That means many things try to move you, right? Otherwise, Paul doesn't need to encourage us. Let nothing move you. Why he can let nothing move him? Because he really knows your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's a strong conviction that keeps you serving the Lord. You know, in the olden days, for those coins, somehow, some coin, they have the image of cow. And the cow is always come with another two images. The two images will be otter and plow. You know what's plow, right? Those on the back of cow in order to plow the land, the field. And it's interesting. Why the otter and plow is combined with the figure of cow? If you like a wether beef, probably the cow will be on the otter, right? Otherwise, how can you get the wether beef, right? But it's not all cows for beef or for wether beef. Some cow will be for milk. Some cow will be for plow the landfield, right? For the field. So that's why. It is an imagery for serving God. Whoever will follow Christ, you serve God. Someone maybe will be at altar to be a martyr, right? Maybe for the cause of the gospel, you need to die for God. But most of us, we need to work for God. That is a good imagery to imply who deserves the credits. Are those who really work hard for God's kingdom. That's why for these two brothers, he has James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. You know, Acts chapter 12 is almost the first one among the 12 disciples who died for the gospel. But on the other hand, for his brother John, you know, the long-lived, aged senior, the disciple John, your brother and companion in suffering and kingdom and patient endurance, because he was the one in the Patmos Island to write the Revelation in the New Testament. He's the sole senior, blessed senior. We cannot count whether you will be die for God or live long for God, but no matter how, you know, when you live and die for God's kingdom, you deserve the credits. Who deserves the credits? Not the church founders, not the church leaders only. Everyone should live for Christ. Serving God, then everyone should deserve the credits. About 15 years ago, it's my first time went to Jerusalem. All the tourists who went to Jerusalem will try to look like Jewish, to touch the wall of Jerusalem and make a prayer. I vividly still remember I made two prayers. Do you want to know what is the content of my two prayers? Whoever want to know, you give me a coffee and I tell you. Okay. And I'm so thankful, 15 years down the road now, that two prayers got fulfilled. Why I have to pray? Because I know something I cannot just work 100% and it can be done. Only by God's grace. That's why I pray. Hopefully you also have your personal prayer for your Christian walk, for your church, for your maturity, how you deserve the credits when you sit in this church for years, because you also pay the price for God's sake. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we give thanks because in a familiar passage like this, your word have deep meaning to challenge us in today's world and also in today's context. We sit in this church for years. We've grown up in this church. And hopefully we can have the maturity to take the ownership. This church is not only belongs to the Chinese side or to the elderly people, to the mature Christians, but we've grown up in this church. We would like to serve and not only to be served. And Lord, bless us the vision that we will not labor in vain, because we do all the good things in order to see your God's blessing upon ourselves and also upon this church. And may Lost Grace Church be the vivid lamppost in this community. Through our church, we can reach out to this English-speaking maturity, Chinese-speaking neighborhood, so that your gospel be known, and we will be truly blessed. We all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us